don't look at the book that tells us what to do. Hallelujah. You use your faith. He'll prove himself by his word this morning. Hallelujah. Glory. Psalms 1:1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. We were talking about everybody's blessed, but God just gave you the formula right here. First of all, let's look at that word blessed. The word comes from the Hebrew word esher. Okay? And the word means happy. Don't mean what these folks talking about. We talking about this is the word from God. Okay? Happy is the man, or happy is mankind, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, God, who makes us happy, he makes us happy when we do not choose to walk in the counsel or in the mindset of the law. What does that mean? That means that we as Christians, we know and understand the word of God, and we walk in the word of God. We walk according to the instructions of God. That's what makes you happy. Amen. It says, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In other words, we don't plan. We don't make plans, because let me tell you something. Sin is not an accident. Sin is not an accident. When the man did what he did in the garden and transgressed, he did it on purpose. He became ungodly. Now, he walked with God every day in the cool of the evening. God came down and talked with him, and God communicated with him. And we saw that by the fact of the animals, how they are named. Every name that the man Adam named the animals, it is still so today. So God, he had the counsel of God with him. When he messed up, that made everybody unhappy. It made everybody unhappy. Where do you think depression comes from? Suicide. Mindset. Alcoholism. Because the man made messed up and made us all unhappy. And let me tell you something. It's just, see, the thing about how dangerous this is the fact that in that mindset or in that state of existence called sin, it's not, in other words, you're not just standing there not doing anything. Right. God made you to increase.
Amen.
God made you to grow. God made you to advance. Now, when he messed up, those plans and those attributes are still there. Planning, growing, and increasing. Amen. But now, since God is out of the picture, you grow and increase and plan in the negative.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Let's read that again. It says, nor blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, this is, what's the name? It's a gradual increase. Now, this first group we mentioned, they are impious. In other words, they lack reverence in their mind. Amen. People don't have no mind for God anymore. Amen. They don't have any mindset for the things of God. Back in the day, even the movies and things, they acknowledged God as being a creator. Now, they may have thrown in evolution on top of it, but they always mentioned God as being creator. You look at the movies now, there's no mention of God. There's no mention of God. The second are sinners who not only think, but carry out the workings of their evil minds. When the evil comes in there, they don't crush it or stop it. They go with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
The third are scorners, glorying in their wickedness and scoffing at righteousness. In other words, when you hear about a right thing, the word scornful means to scoff at or make mouths at. In other words, folks twisting their mouth up when you hear about something that's supposed to be right. And you're correcting them. Twist their mouth up at. Because of their mindset. again, it continues that first man taking, now it takes evil counsel. Where it was just, where it didn't have any reference from God, now it's beginning to plan stuff. Now it's beginning to plan it. The second began to carry it out as a principle of their walk. In other words, their course of life. It's becoming worse. It's increasing. Now they're walking it out. The third, now they settle down in it as on a seat. That's what it says, sitting down in the seat of the scornful. They're sitting down and they're comfortable in what they are doing. Amen. They feel like I say, this is me, this is what this is what I'm feeling, and this is what they do.
Right.
God said, happy is the man that does not do that, does not walk in that way, does not plan in that way, and does not settle down in that way. Amen. He said, but his delight, his desire is in the law of the Lord, or the instruction of the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? And in his instruction does he meditate on it day and night. In other words, as you begin to know God and begin to, okay, it's just like falling in love. You think about that person all of the time. Well, it's the word of God. We're supposed to love God. We're supposed to love his word. So the word of God, as you continue to become acquainted with it, now it becomes to get into your thoughts. So you start thinking about the word of God. You start thinking about songs of God. You start thinking about the word of God. As you work, you thinking about the word of God. As you play, you thinking about the word of God. I got so now I can watch a TV program. Jesus pops up in the middle of it. Why? Because we place the instruction of God in our mindset.
Amen.
You got to train your mind because your mind don't want to do it. That's why it says in the beginning, train up a child in the way he should go. When they get older, they won't depart from it. Why? Because it's in there.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. This is not just a thing of badness. This is an active evil.
Yeah.
It's active.
Yeah.
It's alive.
Yeah.
This nature is alive. People don't understand that it's alive and it's active.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's why tomorrow you go to sleep at night and you're wrestling. That's that mind, that's that nature keeping you woke.
Right.
That's that nature keeping you awoke. And you have to use the word of God to pull it back under so that it'll stress you out.
Right.
Before we blow it off. Yeah. We blow it off. We don't count that as nothing. Oh, that ain't nothing. No, man, that's you tripping. No, that's an active nature.
Man. Yeah.
See, man is physical, he's mental, and he is spiritual. Yeah.
Break it down.
He is physical, he is mental, and he is spiritual. And that being outside of the realm of God gives him activity or access. Why? Because he wants to take over. The old Adamic nature wants to take over. It wants to cause you to sin. It wants to cause you to scorn. It wants to cause you not to have reverence for the things of God. Come on and give God some praise. Second verse again. But his delight, this enviable, this blessed person, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, all blessedness or happiness for man is shown to consist in subjugating to an occupation with God's word.
Amen.
That's the only happiness. Once again, the word comes from God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Blessed comes from God.
Yeah.
Once again, it means happy. It doesn't mean somebody to sprinkle some pixie dust on you and everything that you do, you know, is all good.
Right.
A lot of folks, they I'm blessed.
Right.
Okay, who blessed you?
Right.
What are you blessed with?
Amen.
I got a lot of money. I'm blessed. That doesn't mean a blessing. The Bible says, what profit or how useful is it for a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul?
Amen.
Are you blessed?
Amen.
Come on now.
Right. You can gain the whole world and lose your soul. Are you blessed?
Mm-hmm.
I'm an athlete and I just signed a contract for millions of dollars. I'm blessed. Mm-hmm. Are you? I just signed a new record deal. Hey, and I got this. I got millions of fans. I'm blessed. Are you?
Right.
Are you blessed according to this, or is it your own blessing?
All right.
Because see, a lot of folks will walk in their own blessing, but they'll pretend like somebody else didn't bless them.
All right.
God said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the word of God. And in that delight, in that word, he meditates day and night. Come on and give God some praise. Now, go with me to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew 5th chapter. In Psalms, we looked at King David. God said, I'm going to have me a king after my own heart. So God raised up David. Man, now man, they, the men of Israel, they picked their own king. But the king walked according to his own thoughts and his own ideas. So the king lost his life. God picked his own king, called his name David. And because David was obedient unto God, God promised him that in his line was a Savior going to come.
Amen.
Now we're going to look at the next king, the true king, and his name is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Matthew, the 5th chapter, and we're going to start at the 3rd verse. Well, we'll read the first. We'll read the first. We'll kind of set it up. Now, Jesus had a great multitude following him from Galilee and from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And 5th chapter, 1st verse, it said that seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, he set himself. His disciples came unto him. He opened his mouth, and he taught, began to teach them. Mm-hmm. Okay? In order to be blessed, you have to be taught by God. You have to be taught the things of God. Because that is what's going to make you happy in the long run. Why? Because it's not just natural down here. You have an eternal consequence to
wait. Amen.
See, a lot of folks think, oh, you're here today and you're gone tomorrow. Yeah, and that's true. But there's an after tomorrow. And it may not be in this. Okay? But you're going to leave. God made you to live forever.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, sin cut that off. That's why we get sick. Okay? And the nature lives on. But the spirit man is eternal because it comes from God. And when you leave here, you're going to go someplace. You're going to go someplace. Okay? I'm just making plans. I know folks don't like you to teach like that anymore. They like everything to be happy and joy. But let me tell you something. My responsibility is to tell you the truth.
Come on now. Amen.
And let me tell you something. Everybody that's in here is going to stand before the judge, and his name is Jesus, to give an account of what you have done in this life.
Amen.
And you got two places that you're going to go, and it's not, and that's it. And it's because he made the places. He set them, so he's got all power in creating the place, so he dictates where you go. Why? Because he is responsible for you being here. Oh, but I had a mother and a father. Yeah, but he set the process up so that your mother and father could produce you.
Amen. Right. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Third verse. He said, blessed. Now here's another man. Here's the King of Kings saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is in Greek. The Greek word, I gave you the Hebrew word, the Greek word is makarios, and it means happy. That's what the word, it means same thing. In other words, God is consistent. He's not inconsistent.
Amen.
He don't contradict himself.
Amen.
You have to search these things to find them out. God does not, he says, I am not the author of confusion.
That's right. That's
God
right.
wants to make it plain so that you can understand what's going on.
Amen.
So he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The word poor means to be a beggar or to be a pauper. In spirit means according to worldly desire. So in other words, I don't allow my desire for things, for possessions, for popularity, to cause me to I don't place that desire above the things of God.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Wants me to be happy. He wants me to have a house. He wants me to have a car and all of those things. But he wants me to be saved first.
Right. Amen.
The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you.
Right.
As you seek the kingdom, as you seek the king, as you seek his righteousness.
Amen.
So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God has an inheritance for us, and that's part of it. Also says, fourth verse, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, a lot of times, most of the time, when we think about blessed are they that mourn, we think about a funeral. We thinking about somebody laid out in a coffin, one of our loved ones, and we crying and bawling and belly hewing and all of that stuff because they're gone. And some do that and they're sincere with it, and some do that for a show. Ain't visited the person, ain't seen the person in 100 years, but they gonna jump on the box to make you think that they the love this person when you could care less about them than the dirt on your shoe. Folks gotta drag you off the box. But let me tell you something. I noticed one thing. While they in the sanctuary, they'll jump on the box.
Right.
But when they get over that hole where it's 6 feet down, nobody jumps on the box. Nobody jumps on the box. Y'all love them, but you don't want to go down in that hole with them. So let's keep it real. But what he's talking about here is talking about manifest grief. It's talking about lamenting. It's talking about repentance. Blessed are they who repent, for they shall be comforted. In other words, be comforted with the salvation of God. They shall be brought near by the salvation of God. That's what God is talking about. See, God, when you talk about his kingdom, it's talking about a character change.
Amen.
You got to change character.
Come on now.
You got to get a new nature. Okay? Because before I got saved, God loved me, but God said, that's not coming in. What do you mean? We all have parents, and you know how parents would with some of the kids. They love the kid, but when the kids start acting up, what they do? They tell them, you can't bring that up in here.
Right.
You got to go.
Right.
As human beings, they tell you got to go. You can't bring that up in here. Because it may be dangerous, it may mess up the whole family, may kill somebody, you got to take that up out of here. God loves you too, but you're not going to bring that nature up in his house.
Come on now.
You ain't bringing it, he ain't having it. There's a way to get in.
Come on now.
Jesus is the way, he is the door. You go through Jesus to get in, to have access to Father, to have access to the happiness, to have access to the blessing. But if you don't, God said, oh, you want to stay out there? There you go. He's not playing around. He loves us, but God ain't studying us when it comes to his word.
Amen.
He said, he blessed Jesus. He said, this is my beloved, or gave him a title. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, when Jesus followed out his instructions.
Amen.
When Jesus followed out his instructions, he got a reward. What was the reward? The reward was a name that is above every name. Jesus had to complete the pattern. What makes us think we as Christians who are part of him, we don't have our work to do too?
Hallelujah.
Now God wants to make us happy, but it's according to his word.
Amen.
Fifth verse, blessed are the meek, those who have a humble spirit or a mild spirit or a gentle spirit. It says, for they shall inherit the earth. They shall inherit the earth. Now go to Psalms. Go back to Psalms 37. Go back to Psalms. 37th chapter. We're going to start at the 9th verse. Remember, he was still talking about blessed are the meek now, those that are mild, those that are humble, those that are gentle. 37:9, it says, for evildoers shall be cut off. That word cut off means die. For evildoers shall die. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. That word once again talks about meekness, talks about being patient, oppressed ones.
Amen.
In other words, we may be oppressed by our circumstances,
come on now,
situation, right, but we have patience in it. Pastor was preaching about patience, having patience last week. Patience in the midst of it, knowing that our God is able to remove that pressure after time. A lot of times we create our own things, and it's just like our parents. God gonna leave you in it until you understand that you're not supposed to go back into it. Because if he snatches us out, it's just like a little kid. You tell a little kid the stove's hot. He go in there, hot. You tell him, hot, hot, hot. He gonna keep coming back, hot, hot, hot. Well, my mother had a solution for that problem. I went in there one time and she was hot, hot, hot. She said, you know what? I'm tired of this. Now you know the lesson. I didn't have to worry about me going back in there with the stove anymore. Now we shouldn't have to learn a lesson that way. We should be able to be taught. But sometimes, and God will do that too. He said those that have a reprobate mind, He will take you over there. You want to be over there. You want to be in a position where nobody can talk to you or nobody can reprove you. Okay, I'm going to take you over to a place and let you stay over there. And he ain't talking about the folks outside. He's talking about the saints. You want to act up? You don't want to follow this word? Let me put you over here where you can clown all you want to. Now, when you get done, you're going to receive the same thing, the same reward that them folks that don't have no regard for me. Because right now, you're showing you don't have any regard for me. So blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's talking about the land. I'm not going to go too far in that, because that's going to mess some other folk up. Let's go back to Matthew. It says, 6th verse. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That word hunger and thirst, what do you do when you're hungry? You eat. What do you do when you're thirsty? You drink. You have a strong desire for those things. It's saying those that have a strong desire after his righteousness shall be filled with. What is righteousness? It's the sum total of all that God commands and approves of as far as the man is concerned. It's also what he gives to us. We're not righteous on our own. Okay, God gives it. He has a need. I have a need, Lord. I'm not righteous. I need your righteousness. Because I submit myself to his word, God will make me righteous.
Come on, come on.
And not so that I'm better than anybody else. That's not what it's all about. It's about right standing before him. It's not talking about being better than folks. Because some folks, when they get talk about blessed, they talk about, I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. You're not highly favored no more than anybody else.
Amen. Amen.
Why you say that? Because it's only one Jesus.
All right.
And we're all part of that one Jesus with one anointing. What is the anointing? The anointing is the presence of God. Amen. So it's only one presence. And God's not going to favor you higher than anyone else. Now he's not going to put you down lower than anyone else. Amen. God says he has no respect of persons. No respect of person. In other words, he don't hold one higher than the other. We're all his children. Now, whether we acknowledge that him as being our father or not, we're still his children. And he's made a way for us. But it's up to us to choose. He said, choose ye this day. Everybody get a choice. You got a choice to follow after him, or you got a choice to follow your own way. Right. Everybody talking about following the devil. Nobody follows the devil. Folks ain't studying him. They following their own way. They whatever they want to do. They want to get high. They want to lie. They want to cheat, steal. That's what they want to do. They feel like doing. That's called self. They're following their self dictates. As they self dictate whatever desire that is, that's what they do.
Amen.
And God allowed you to do that. That's why Father don't get mad talking about gay folk. They want that's their choice.
Right.
The Creator Himself gave them a choice.
That's right.
Now I don't have to participate with their choice. Okay, but it's their choice, so I don't get mad at it. That's just like me getting mad at Pastor Rutherford for his SUV. Rev, I don't like your SUV, man. It's his choice. It was his money to buy it. So that's his choice. I buy what I like. Or I choose what I like. And I like Christ. So that's what I choice. And he said, if I hunger and thirst after him, he will fill me up.
Amen.
And he will justify me. Not only will he make me righteous, he will justify me. In other words, it's a step up. God will increase you, okay, in himself. He will increase you in his word. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And this mercy is not talking about, well, just feeling sorry for somebody. This is talking about not only feeling sorry for them, but desirous of getting them out of the situation that they're in. What do you mean? It's just like the restoration ministry. We see a lot of poor folk, okay? But it's more than just looking at them. You have to do something about it to relieve their situation. That's what God is talking about. Amen. He's talking about being actively compassionate to them folk. Actually doing something. And the Bible talks about what does it profit a man talking about? You know, you see your brother hungry and you tell him, I'm gonna just pray for you.
Yeah.
Be warm and filled. Yeah. And I got a house full of steaks.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell him to be warm and filled. I got a house full of steaks, but I'm not giving him nothing. That's not the way of Christ.
Amen.
I've got some. Give him some.
Amen.
Don't you understand? If you give, God will give it back to you.
Yeah.
He will press it down for you. He will shake it out and cause it to run over. You don't know where the blessing or the happiness is going to come from. God's got that all on control.
Yeah.
All you have to do is follow out the instructions.
Amen.
So blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, which is talking about his divine grace.
Amen.
8th verse. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, he's talking about having a clean heart. Or the heart here is talking about clean thoughts.
Yeah.
Clean feelings. Clean mind. Especially toward those, toward your name. Okay, because you know sometimes we look at folks and we get to twisting up our lip at them and they ain't about nothing. We don't know them from a hole in the ground. But all of a sudden, because I see them, I don't like them. They ain't about nothing. Okay. See, you have to keep that clean. Why? Go to Jeremiah. We're jumping all over the place. We're going to try to get you out of here. Go to Jeremiah. The 9th chapter. I'm sorry, the 17th chapter, Jeremiah 17. Remember when we're still talking about clean heart here. Everybody have it? Say amen. 17 and the 9th verse. Now this is what God, he said, now God loves us. He sent his son to die for us, but this is what he also said about us. Or about parts of. He says, 9th verse, the heart or the mind is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? In other words, who can understand the depths of depravity, this being desperately wicked? It's talking about desperately wicked mean, first of all, let's look at the word deceit. That means it's crooked.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And that refers to the old nature we were talking about, the nature that we receive from the man when he sinned. It's deceitful. The nature is crooked. The heart and mind is crooked above all things and desperately wicked. That word desperately wicked means sick unto death. It is sick unto death. It is incurable.
Amen.
My mind outside of the things of God, God said it's deceitful, it's crooked, and it is incurable.
Uh-huh.
That's why when God saves you, he don't take it out. He places his nature in so that you have the ability to overcome the old. That's why you say, well, they say they're Christians. They made that mistake and did that. Yeah, because that old man is still in there. Right. Not taken out.
Right.
You got to overcome it.
Right.
You got a choice. That's not, I have power to choose. God has broken the chain of the habit. But now if I'm hanging with that, but sometimes that means you got to separate from those that you used to hang with.
Amen.
You got to come out from that. Because now you get to hanging with them. That's all they're going to be talking about. Guess what? You'll be slipping right back into the old thing that you used to do. You have to separate yourself for a time till you get strong enough. Then maybe you can go back. And then maybe you can actually witness to them and bring them out just like God brought you up. Come on, give God some praise. Tenth verse. Now God, he's saying, the Lord searches the heart. In other words, he knows our mind. He says, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. In other words, the Bible says it like this, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, in other words, whatever you scatter, that's the way they used to plant seeds in the old days. They used to put them in their hand and throw them like that.
Right.
Whatever you throw out, you're going to get it back.
Amen.
And a lot of Christians, what they like to do, they're going to do something. I'm going to do something to Sister Diane, and then I'm going to say, I'm sorry. Because I'm going to try to get away from that. I'm going to do something on purpose to her. Then I'm going, Lord, I'm sorry. God said, don't be no fool. You still getting it back, because that's what you did. You getting that back.
Yeah.
And see, with God, you don't know how or when it's going to come back.
Amen.
You don't know how or when. This is because time has no meaning to God. God created time and he placed human beings in it. He's not subject to it. That's why I call him the eternal one, the everlasting one, the self-perpetual. Woo! He's eternal. He's forever. He has no beginning and he has no end. And what he sets into motion, it will stay in motion because he's God Almighty. So be careful how you treat people. It don't matter. Let me tell you something. This also don't just work for the folks in the church. This works for everybody. It works for everybody, whether you're saved, whether you're not saved, whether you know God or whether you don't know God. God's got us all because we're all his kids, whether they're good or bad. So he's going to protect all his kids. So you better be careful how you treat somebody. You saved and you mistreat somebody that's not saved, you're going to get it back. Blessed are the pure in heart that keeps their thoughts and their feelings clean, pure by the word of God. For they, this is talking about future, future state, future condition, shall see God. In other words, when Jesus comes back, we're going to see him. We'll see him when he comes back. Ninth verse, back in Matthew again. Back in Matthew. Blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be called the children of God. Peacemaker means a maker of peace. Now that don't mean you got to get in every situation. That's what he's not saying that.
Amen.
Some folks think they got to go in and meddle in everything. No, when a situation involves you, then you can become a peacemaker. If folks over there want, you mind your business. That's how folks get hurt. That's how Christians get beat up. Why? Because they meddling in things that ain't their business.
Come on.
God wants you to mind your business.
Come on now. Amen.
In other words, God is a God of common sense. You know, sometimes we get talking about super spiritual that we figure that we can go in and get involved in anything. Like we done went into them old phone booths and changed clothes and put on a costume. Now we can But you're supposed to use common sense and be led by the Spirit, because you can't settle everything. I give you a perfect example. I was in Church's Chicken not too long ago. Go get me some chicken. And I'm looking across the street at this barbershop up here on 7 Mile. And next thing I know, these folks out there fight. This guy standing at the bus stop. Some guy, I guess he was twisting. And he was twisting too good. They didn't like it. So they're going to come out there and whoop him. Well, my man had a hammer in his bag. He was waiting for him. So, you know, so the guy that came out, he the big dog, you know, had him on the ground. We're ready to bust him up with the hammer. So the guy comes in there with the hammer. He comes in there into the Church's Chicken. I'm still waiting for my order. And, you know, so they give me, I had some napkins, gave it to him so he could wipe the sweat off. Next thing I know, my man who was on the ground, then when he got him a stick, now he coming in the Church's Chicken. Now they hammering and clubbing each other in the Church's Chicken. So the manager comes out. She's screaming and hollering, talking about the baby in the way. So you know what I did? I opened the door so the little girl could get out and let them two hammer and claw at each other. In other words, I helped who I could help, and those who I could not help, I left them alone. So I come out, I go back in, get my chicken, and get in my car and go on my merry way. God expects you to use common sense. Blessed are the peacemakers, shall be called the children of God. When it talks about children, it's talking about origin and nature. We have the nature and the character of Jesus. That's what it's talking about. We have his nature and character. Blessed are those which are persecuted or have been persecuted for righteousness' sake. In other words, they know you go to church. Now, that don't necessarily mean that you hear something too. That just because you go to church, that don't mean you're supposed to be in everybody's face quoting scripture. They hired you for a job. Do your job. I'm like Coach Belichick right there. Do your job. Get that, brother. But that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do your job. When an opportunity comes, by their seeing your conduct, now you can influence. Give you a perfect example. We know we just had the election, and some folks were not happy with the choice that we haven't watched. Well, one young lady, she came in there, she was bawling. I mean, just crying. About the fact that Mr. Trump is our new president. When I just happened to see her, and I'm asking her what's wrong, because she usually has a smile on her face all the time. And she was talking about that. I said, well, you know what? You have to put your faith and trust in God. It don't make no difference who's in Washington.
Amen.
Okay? I've had presidents that I voted for and they won. I still didn't put my trust in them. My trust is in the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
I put my trust in the one who made heaven and earth.
Amen.
All right. She dried her tears and it changed her countenance. That's what I mean. You can make an impression on somebody. But then there's those that come in there, they talk about me, and next thing you know, they talk about all manner of foolish stuff. And you wonder, that's a Christian? And the folks are turned off. They don't want to have nothing to do with it. That's see, right. As representatives, we're ambassadors for Christ.
Amen.
Okay, we're supposed to be on our best behavior, putting on the best front, according to the word of God, our best attitude, so that folks, when they get in trouble, say, well, you know what? I know this man is a man of God. Maybe they can help me.
All right.
But if you clowning, don't nobody want to be bothered with you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
They don't want to have nothing to do with you. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Means you're happy. Why? Because I understand. Now, I don't like to be talked about, but I understand when I get to myself that this is part of the process. They talked about Jesus, and I'm part of Jesus, therefore they're going to talk about me. They didn't like him because of what he stood for, therefore because I'm part of him, they're not going to like me. I don't take it personal. That's what I had to learn. You don't take it personal. You keep it moving. You keep it moving. Why? Because they might come back, and if you take it personal, you're not going to be in a position to help. Come on and give God some praise. It says, 11th verse, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, in other words, defame you, reproach you, and say all manner of evil things about you, against you falsely for my sake. I said, you're happy. Once again, it doesn't feel good, okay? And folks can say some nasty things, including, and I'm not, once again, I'm not necessarily talking about folks in the street.
Right. Right.
Sometimes it's easier to get along with them than the saints.
Yeah, right.
Saints the one coming here and make up stuff about you. I just tell you. Remember I got sick and lost all that weight? Y'all know what the first thing folks thought? Yeah, he must be playing out that bag.
Yeah.
Must be one of them undercover. What they said, on the down low, or how do they say that? Yep, on the down low. It had nothing to do with it. I had diabetes and didn't know it. And so it just took the weight off of me. It had nothing to do with it. But folks, in their imagination,
right,
they say 1 + 1 = 2. And it don't. folks in the church, oh, they're not getting involved with this one. Oh, they must be gay. Something's wrong with it. This church folks saying this stuff. I heard it. You got to get your stuff together and keep it moving. Don't take it personal, because them same ones that talk about you, you may have to help them also.
Right.
That's what Jesus did.
Right.
That's what Jesus did. He subjected himself to the word of God and presented that which his Father commanded him to do so that he can make others happy. That's what
Amen.
This is all about.
Amen.
12 verses says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. So once again, we're right in that line because we're following after what we have been taught.
Amen. Amen.
They don't understand the nature of God in you. All of a sudden, they just don't like you.
Come on now.
You show up at work, they don't like you. I just don't like them. That's that nature in them. They don't like the nature of God. The Bible says the flesh and the spirit, they war against each other. They fight against each other. They are not going to get along. But you have to show the love of God in all situations. Come on and give God some praise. We're almost done. Go back to Psalms 1. Gotta hurry through this. Third verse of Psalms. 1 and 3. And it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Those that rely on the word of God shall be like a tree that is fed by those waters. In the Garden of Eden, there were four rivers that flowed into the garden that fed. In other words, four is the number of creative works. God will do a creative work in your life to feed you, to sustain you. It doesn't matter what situations you're in.
Man.
Over in Jeremiah 17:8, it talks about that also. Talking about when that fire shall come, you shall not know it. In other words, you shall not perceive it when things get heated. In other words, when things are turned up on you, you won't know it, because God will continue to be flowing through you,
Amen.
Blessing you in spite of your circumstances. Amen. It talks about you prospering. It talks about Joseph. Joseph was in slavery, and yet the Lord was with him in the midst of that slavery, so that everything that Joseph put his hand to, in spite of the fact that he was in jail, it prospered him. And eventually, Joseph got out, and God made him the ruler over that whole country. Come on and give God some praise. The instruction of God is a tree of life to us, and meditating on the word. That's why you have to meditate on it.
Amen.
Think about the word of God. Because if you don't, that other one's going to put them thoughts in there.
All right.
I'll be thinking about, what's the next thing I'm thinking about the things of God. Next thing I'm thinking about somebody who said something bad about me. Why? Because that's the way the man does. That's the way that nature is. It's a fight. So I fight to make sure that the word of God is in there. So then God will keep me like he kept the man before he messed up in the garden. Come on and give God some more praise.
Amen.
Now it says the ungodly are not so. Those that hear the word and reject it are not so. They're not prosperous. They're not kept by the word of God. But they're like the chaff. What is chaff? Chaff is the outer skin on the wheat. When they put it through the threshing machines, it removes the fruit and leaves that husk.
Right.
That's what it's saying. It's like a husk. It's nothing good about it. It's useless. It does good for nothing. And it says the wind driveth it away. In other words, there's no weight to it. God just sweeps it away.
Man.
He said, fifth verse, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. The lawless, those that reject the word of God, shall not be stand in the judgment. In other words, they're not going to be a part of the first judgment. Dead in Christ is going to rise first. Then the others, the ones that didn't love God, they're going to be raised up too. But we get raised up first. We get raised up. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. In other words, those that practice sin. When you get home, read Galatians, 5th chapter, 19th to 21st verse.
Amen.
That'll let you know what God is talking about as far as the sinner. We don't have time to go into all of that. Okay? Read that. Nor sinner in the congregation of the righteous. So God's going to do a separating. God's going to do a separating. If you want to be made happy, then you have to separate yourself, come out from among them, and be ye separate.
Right.
Touch not those things that are unclean.
Man.
You have to keep yourself clean by the word of God. Now, go to Rome. We're almost done. Come on and give God some praise.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Romans, the 4th chapter. We're going to start the 6th verse. Everybody have to say amen.
Amen.
It says, even as David also described the blessedness of the man, that's talking about the great happiness of the man or human being to whom God imputed righteousness apart from the works. In other words, the blessings that I get from God, I didn't earn.
Amen.
I didn't do something great and wonderful to get this blessed.
Amen.
God in his infinite mercy had mercy on me. I just said it this way. I was just dumb enough to find out about him and know that I needed a Savior and turned my life over to him when I was a teenager. And God saved me and filled me with his Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Because I understood it. God has no age limit as far as God is concerned.
Amen.
God can talk to anyone at any age.
Amen.
Anyone at any age. He's not limited because he's the creator. So he just described the happiness of the man or mankind unto whom God imputes righteousness without work, saying, 7th verse, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed are those whose lawlessness is forgiven or sent away. God dismissed them. He dismissed the charge. And whose sins, when I wander away from the path, and sometimes I did, you know I say, and I messed up, he covered them.
Amen.
He covered my sins, the acts that I did. He covered them up.
Amen.
8th verse, and I'm done. He says, blessed is the man or the human being to whom the Lord will not impute sin. In other words, count sin against you.
Yeah.
That's when you happy. That's your happiness.
Yeah.
Because I've got eternal life. And let me tell you something. Sometimes you may have it tough down here.
Right.
Okay, he didn't say it was going to be easy.
No, he didn't.
But the blessing is, even though I'm going to get some blessings here. I'm going to tell you before we leave. Okay? But I'm looking at my eternal consequence that I get to live forever with Jesus.
Yeah.
And I get to be happy with him.
Yeah.
The one who saved me
and
delivered me. The one who looks out for me. Even when I mess up, God still look out for me. He protect me his lifetime from my own foolishness. Hallelujah. That's why I'm happy. So that's where the happiness is. The happiness is in following God's instruction. Following God's and I opened up the newspaper, and usually I read the front page in the sports section, and I call it quick. Well, the entertainment section popped up. And I told this before, and my favorite jazz artist was on the top of the thing, John Luke Ponte. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's Wednesday. Oh, Lord, I want to see the man, but we got class tonight. I said, Lord, pastor needs to cancel that class. A few minutes later, Pastor Gardner called up and said, brother, we're not having class tonight. That was number one. Got home, changed my clothes, went downtown, found me a spot where I didn't have to pay for no parking. Number two. Got in line for the ticket. I'm hoping the box office don't close. I don't care. I'm paying for me this ticket. All of a sudden, from the back of the line, this guy comes up talking about, I got a free ticket. But this other guy grabbed it first. So that's all right. I'm still going to get mine. Stood in the line. So the guy stayed in the line. He said, why are you still in line? He said, well, I got another ticket. Get another ticket. He said, but you won't be able to sit with that other person with this ticket. So he gave the ticket back. So guess who had their hand out next? I had my hand out. And I got a free ticket. Let me tell you something. So I'm following the guy. The guy told me, well, you don't have to talk. Man, you just gave me a free ticket. I'll talk to you. Got down there and sat on the second row right by the stage. Let me tell you something. God will bless you. If you keep it. But now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. There were times when John Luke was in town and we had church. Guess where I was? I was in church. I was in church. I said, God, see you next time, John. God, see you next time. This time was my turn. God blessed me so, in spite of the fact that he knew I was going to be there that night in the class, God made a way for me to get a free ticket. And let me tell you something. Yeah, I listened to the maestro play that violin, but my spirit was bubbling over because I just remember what God had done for me. Hallelujah. I praised him all night long while that man was playing that violin. I lifted up God. You've been good to me. Jesus, come on and give God some more praise. Thank you, Jesus.